Good morning, KYLK listeners. Good morning, Sister Linda Randall. Welcome to the Sunday School Snapshot. I am Reverend Lewis Winkley. I serve and preside at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, under the leadership of my pastor, Dr. Sheldon L. Jackson, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a wonderful lesson coming out of our annual Sunday School Standard Lesson Commentary. We are dealing with Unit 1, Jesus, the Heir of David, with the theme, A King Forever and Ever, and we're at lesson number 3. The title of our lesson this morning is A Father's Prophecy. Let's get into prayer and we'll jump into the lesson. Father God, we just come to say thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given. You've touched us with the finger of love, woken us. You've given us a new grace, new mercy, and a new day. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We ask and continue to keep us in your hands, on your heart and mind. Lord, provide for us, Lord. We ask that you link us together, Father, as you prepare to teach us your word and feed us your word ever so gingerly. Lord, that we'll grow strong in your word and give you the glory out of our lives, for you are worthy. We thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we ask for these blessings. And the people of God said amen. A Father's Prophecy. A Father's Prophecy is the title of our lesson. Our devotional reading is in Luke. The printed text says verses 5 through 17. And then also the background devotional scripture is in Luke verses chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. While our background scripture, our printed text that we'll be working on, they have printed 5:23. And then 57 through 80, which actually is in the lesson. You know, as I always suggest, read the entire chapter. Just for a little background, Luke wasn't actually a witness. He never really walked with Christ. He was actually he was a Greek doctor, a physician, and he actually was companion to the Apostle Paul. And the Gospel of Luke, what makes it so significant, because I know you like, oh man, Luke's not an apostle, Luke didn't walk with Christ, and why is this a gospel? What it is what's so important and for us to focus on is the fact that Luke never walked with Christ. However, he was a believer of Christ. He came in off of second hand from what the Apostle Paul and all the people that he interviewed to go and find out about who Christ was and what was Christ doing. So that is one thing, you know, like we deal with it. You know, we're dealing with Thomas. Thomas says, you know, I won't believe that it's him until I put my fingers on the nail prints in his hand, or I put my hand and thrust in the side of the wound in his side, you know, from what he witnessed, what he heard. But now he has to be what he sees to make him believe, you know. And we know faith comes, you know, by hearing, you know, and believing. Faith don't come, you know. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. It's easy to walk by sight, man, but to walk by blind faith, just believing and having that faith, that's a whole nother ballgame. That's so much prevalent, so much more powerful. So you see Luke going through, and because he's a physician, meaning that he's intelligent, he's been trained, he's been educated, and then he has the opportunity to be, and some of his tools or some of his abilities is being very observant and very meticulous. So he is in this gospel is very, very detailed about Christ and Christ's life. Now, this particular part where we are in this lesson, you know that this is we focus on we're in the season for the holidays where we deal with Christ's birth, we deal with Christmas, so we culminate on the birth of Christ. So this comes in to the precursor of Zacharias and his wife. And Zacharias was a priest at the temple. He was on rotation to where he does the diddle duties at the temple for a 2-week period until it comes back around to him from his he was in the division of Abia, out of the one of the 24th divisions of the priests, as they had them organized. You know, that's one good thing to know. God has everything organized. So that's something for us to think about. God is an organized God. He's a meticulous God. And he takes time to make sure everything is organized that he has. So if you have some disorganization, if you have some chaos going on in your life, if the first thing we need to do is we need to pray and ask God to settle us down in him and then follow his direction and then, you know, eat where he feeds and follow where he leads. I wish I had somebody. So here, Zacharias, he is given a promise because he and his wife have been wanting they've been wanting a child. And because of his wife's Elizabeth's barrenness and in his age, he just didn't think it was going to really happen. However, having the faith, he and his wife prayed for and kept praying for. So even though you see something that you think that might not happen, or you don't really know what feel as though that the time is right, or maybe the time will never be, you can't give up on God, because God has plans for us. He has forward, positive, powerful, good things for us in his life, in our lifetime, that he has for us to do in him. God didn't just make us just to be floating around, walking around on the earth. God made us because he has a set purpose for each and every created being that he has made. You might just be somebody to say one word to somebody to encourage that one person that might go on to encourage millions. You never know. We don't have an idea, but we must not give up on the faith. We must trust God at his process and his time. And that's what we are in this lesson, because when Zacchaeus heard that he was going to have a son, it said, verse 67, it says, and his father, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed are the Lord of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people. He had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So that horn of salvation is directly pointing at Jesus Christ. So that's what he's talking about that. He says that we shall be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, and to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath in which he swore to our father Abraham, that we would grant us that being delivered out of the hand of the enemy, thank God being delivered, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives, and thou child shall be called of the prophet. Now he's talking about John, prophet of the highest. So he's talking about John, the baby that Zacharias and Elizabeth are going to have. They'll be the forerunner. John will be the forerunner for Christ. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Then you talk about salvation through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring, talking about Christ, from on high had visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew, waxed and strong, was in the desert till the day of his showing into Israel. Now, that's the lesson that we read in the text. But look at what the promises of God has that he gives. It says a father's prophecy. So the title saying that Zacharias was prophesied by the angel that told him that, hey, what you've been praying for, you're going to get it. And the thing about it, when you start digging into the lesson and reading about it, the thing was so prevalent is he'd been praying for a son. Him and his wife been praying for a son, praying for a child. And not only that, they're going to get a son, and they got promised to it. And when it came time for the prayer to be answered, all the faith that he had to keep him praying for the son, praying for the child, when it came time for that, then his faith diminished and he started stop looking up at God and started looking down in himself. He started doubting himself about his age and what he gonna do and all the stuff he got going on and how he gonna have time to be a father and how he gonna have time to tend to a pregnant wife and how he gonna have time. And isn't that just what we do? We sit around and we pray for God to do this in our lives and see his hand working in our lives and see God's blessings and his resources manifest in our lives to make things better, not only for us, but not only for our small circle and not only for our little tight-knit family, but for our community and even globally for mankind. And then when God answers and says, yes, says it's time, brace yourself, prepare yourself, take this instruction, then all of a sudden we want to back up like crawfish. We want to back up like crabs, because now it's time where the rubber hits the road, and now we want to back up and we look and see all of the doubt comes up, all of the why I can't, all of the how it ain't gonna work, all of the like Zechariah, I'm too old. And then what God did, God allowed, he allowed Zacharias to be a mute. He couldn't talk until the baby was born. And that was his punishment to make him think. And sometimes maybe God need to do that for us, make us be quiet and make us reflect on his power and not our limitations. So be encouraged as you look into the lesson and dive into it and get into it. The folks on the blessings that God says he grant us, he delivers us out of the hand through the holiness and righteousness of our days, all the days of our life. Holiness and righteousness. That's what we need. Holiness and righteousness. So when God gives us the prophecy, we only believe, receive, and walk into it. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful day. Hope you have a wonderful opportunity to get into your lesson. It's our prayer.